are listening to a Student Radio Association podcast.
Scott here at the SRA Training Day in Scotland, and I'm joined by Michelle Mackay, who is the talent manager for the Bower Academy. We've just had a fantastic session, lots of amazing advice. But for the people that weren't there, Michelle, can you go over your sort of route into radio?
My route into radio was, I did work experience when I was like 14, 15, at high school at the local radio station Central FM, and stayed there for a year, but never really considered radio as a career. It was something that I loved doing, but then I thought that's not a real job option, and I grew up, moved to Glasgow, got a real job in pensions, which was soul destroying, did that for 6 years, and then wanted to get back into education actually, and took a communications and media course because I felt like that would give me the best all-round skills. And the minute I was back in a radio studio, I just thought this is where I'm meant to be. I should have stayed there in the first place. So I spent my college and university days chapping doors, trying to get my foot in the door. It took me about 18 months to get an interview for a WorkEx kind of internship at XFM Scotland, the first time it was around. And then I got the 6 week work placement, did that, just worked really hard at it, and then was offered tech op shifts, and then became the kind of daytime producer of their XU show. And that was really kind of how I got into the industry.
You mentioned in your talk that you did a bit of student radio at the University of West Scotland.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
What did you sort of learn when you were doing student radio that you've sort of taken with you into your career?
I pushing myself out of my comfort zone, because I always knew I wanted to be a producer. I always knew that I definitely didn't want to be a presenter. I'm not so good with words and microphones, but pushing myself out of the comfort zone of, well, walk the walk, do it yourself, find out. I mean, I can appreciate the role of a presenter more because I've had to do it myself, and it's not easy. You know, good presenters make it look easy, but it's really not an easy thing to do. And it's just a really great space to kind of forge your path and your identity, what you want to do, find out what works, what doesn't work. I mean, I said in there, we always encourage people to make mistakes at the Academy. If you've come to one of our courses and you haven't made a mistake, you've not been trying hard enough, because it's the best way to learn, and it's a perfectly human thing to do. So yeah, it just gave me a really great opportunity to try out new things and push myself into presenting, and it kind of proved that I wasn't meant to be a presenter.
So before you did start working with the Bower Academy, as you were saying, you did do a lot of producing.
Yeah.
It's kind of easy, I guess, for people that are in student radio and in their early steps to imagine what a presenter does.
Yeah.
What's it like in the life of a sort of day-to-day producer? What do you do on a day-to-day basis?
It all depends where you are, what shows you're working on, that kind of thing. But as a general example, you would... I'm kind of coming from a commercial radio perspective. You would be checking the papers to find out exactly what's going on, checking blogs. I mean, one of the shows that I did was a alternative music show, so that would be very much looking at NME and other kind of online sources to find out what's happening with different acts and what people are talking about. Twitter obviously sounds like a kind of easy fallback on, but Twitter is a really great source of content and just what's happening, what people are wanting to talk about, and that's what you want to talk about on the radio, things that people you want to create those water cooler moments, for want of a better term, where they're like, oh my god, did you hear about this? I'm going across different things because I've worked on so many different shows, but on breakfast radio, you're the one that's kind of waking up the nation and telling them the news. You know, they might not have a chance to look at their phone or sit on Twitter themselves, so kind of scouting places for content, looking through the music, sorting out features, sorting out callers, really making sure, I always say, like, the job of a producer is just to make the presenter's job as easy as possible, give them everything they need, make them feel comfortable, make them feel like they know exactly what they're doing and when they're doing it. They do tend to go off on a tangent quite a lot. There's times where I've sat 30 seconds before a track's finished and said to the presenter, "Now remember, you need to mention this particular thing here." And they're like, yeah, right, remember, yeah. And I would always have it written on a bit of paper because I knew the minute the fader goes up and they're like, oh, and they just get into their way of talking, they totally forget their responsibilities. So as a producer, there's lots of kind of, you know, telling them to wrap it up if they've been waffling for too long, or just keeping them on the right track, and helping them hone their ideas, coming up with creative comps. And there's so much. It's, you know, you're basically, as I said in there, you're the captain of the ship, just making sure that everything's going as it should be.
So let's talk about the Boer Academy, because for people that haven't heard of it yet, you know, like, we're all in student radio sort of like going, oh, how do I get into the industry?
Yeah.
And Boer, who are, you know, as you said, the biggest media company in Europe, have got a massive initiative set up specifically to help with that.
Yeah, well, we were finding, we were not struggling. Talent was out there, but it wasn't really making the jump all the time from student radio into actual jobs in the industry. And I think we've got pockets of the UK where it was working a lot better. Certainly in Scotland, when the Academy launched in Scotland, we weren't seeing the talent coming through, and we knew it was out there. So we wanted to kind of take reins and get people into to learn. Basically what we do is we run courses, and that courses take place in our radio studios. So you come in, you learn from presenters and producers who are doing it right now in the same studios, using the same equipment that they use. Really, we want to get people to become industry ready, so when you're finished with us and you can walk into a job, you're in a much better position to get paid work because you've been in it. And it also helps us kind of identify potential talent and shape it, help to shape it. As I was saying in there, we kind of totally shook up the way that we bring people into the industry. We found that kind of the traditional work internship, whilst it is brilliant and works for some people in some areas, it's very much a one-size-fits-all. So the thing is, you come in and you work on the breakfast show and that's your route into that radio station. Well, we've got people who have come in and been matched up with our creative team, who write all the adverts and go out to clients, and you know, that's their area that they're interested in. So we match them up to them and help develop them specifically for roles that are coming up. So the success rate of getting people paid work has been huge, because we're not just bringing them all in the same route, and we're really customising it to kind of shape it up a bit.
Excellent. And just to sort of conclude, I know that, like, far too much the chatter going around is that there aren't any opportunities, there aren't any jobs in radio.
Yes.
Can you disagree with that?
I can wholly disagree with that, because in the last 2 years, the Academy's got 33 students that have come through Academy courses. Some of them have done the mentor scheme, some of them haven't, but 33 students working with Boer alone. I think there's 57... I'm honestly losing track, who are now working in the creative industry. So there's people at, you know, the BBC, there's people at Global, you know, in different areas. There are definitely jobs. There's no doubt that the industry is changing, and it's made it a little bit different. The routes in are a little bit different. The skills needed are a bit different. The opportunities aren't the same as they used to be, but they're still there. They're just there in a slightly different way. And one of the Academy's roles is to help not only Boer, but the industry kind of facilitate that change and get people the skills that they need to kind of match the wants of the industry.
Give it up for Michelle Mackay.
So we launched the Boer Academy in 2012 in the Central Belt of Scotland. We now operate across the whole of the UK. And it was launched to basically help find and develop talent for the business. So unsurprisingly, given that you've not got in touch with radio stations yet, even though you want to get into the industry, we were finding it as an industry really hard to find people with talent coming through. So traditionally, a lot of people would come from student radio and end up getting into the local station and getting a job. But when the Academy was launched, I think in central Scotland certainly, there was only two or three people in the past decade who had actually broken through on air and had come in as work experience and worked their way up. So there was a bit of a gap missing between what you guys are doing right now in terms of creating radio and loving radio and, you know, falling in love with the medium and actually converting that into a job. So the Academy was set up to kind of shake up the way that the industry finds talent. And we found people for Bauer, but also for other stations as well, including Five Live. We've got some of our students that are now working there. How we operate is that we run various courses. They're very short courses. So it can be a weekend course or a four-week evening class. And the whole point of the Academy is to get you to come in and learn how to create radio within the radio station using the same studios that our presenters use, being taught by presenters and producers who are currently doing it, so what you're learning is relevant. And so we run a number of courses. We've also launched a mentor program, and that was to shake up, basically, this doesn't always go down very well, but work experience in our experience doesn't really work, because a lot of the time it's a kind of cookie cutter, same size fits all. So if you wanted to get into news and you applied for work experience, you might end up kind of going through the same process as someone who wants to get to be a presenter, someone who wants to be a producer. So what we've done is we've shaken that up. So through our courses, we find talent for particular areas, so presenters, producers, etc. And then we match them up to an industry mentor in that area, and they go on a 12-week program. It's very flexible. Another thing about, well, I'll go into how I got into radio in a minute, but my experience was that I was kind of expected to go Monday to Friday, 9 to 5 for 6 weeks on an internship unpaid, which was really difficult as a mature student. So we've tried to make it flexible so that it's really accessible to people, so that you can kind of work it around your studies and your other commitments, to help us kind of cherry pick and develop the best talent and not just say, well, if you can't do 6 weeks, then you can't get into the industry. That just seems an insane waste of talent. So that is, we launched the mentor program 2 years ago. When, as I said, when we started, there was only a couple of people who had broken through on air and in the production side of things from, you know, a decade of trying to find people. And we launched the Academy's talent program 2 years ago, and we've got 30 people working in Bauer. We've got 57 working across the UK and across different industries. So what we're doing is working. And it also goes to show that there will be some people who tell you that there aren't jobs in radio. We've got networking, so there's not as many local shows happening on commercial radio stations, but that's just not the case. The industry's changing and it's changing shape, but there are loads of jobs to be had. You just have to put yourself out there to get them.
To hear more,
go to studentradio.org.uk.
Scott here with the final speaker from today's training day in Scotland for the SRA, and I'm joined by Chloe Davidson, who works for Capital. Chloe, could you tell me your role at Capital?
Yes, I am the marketing executive for Capital Scotland, so I look after the brand here in Scotland, essentially.
Now, marketing is an area we kind of don't normally have a lot of insight into. What was your route into that role?
So I started off as a Capital Street star, so part of the brand team for the launch, actually, in 2011. I got offered the opportunity to go and interview for the role through the university that I was studying at, which was great. I was there, and then the opportunity came up 2 years in to get promoted to the Capital Marketing Coordinator at the time, which I absolutely jumped at. And then from there, I was promoted again to marketing executive, so I've just never left, really.
Now, at Capital, brand is obviously huge. What is it like on a day-to-day basis for you? What do you actually do on a day-to-day basis as a marketing executive?
My day really varies. So typically, it's never 9 to 5. You know, I can be working at an event over a weekend. I can be working in evenings at big events. It could be Justin Bieber's at the Hydro, so we are there and we're out with our Capital Street stars making a big deal and a big splash. But it could also be like this morning out with the breakfast team filming some content for a client. So it completely varies from day to day. No 2 days are the same, which is great.
Now, when I'm looking for jobs myself on like sites that are posting up radio jobs, I do see quite a lot of marketing ones. There does seem to be quite a lot of marketing jobs available. For people that are interested in radio but haven't necessarily thought about marketing, what would you say to them?
I would say, you know, it's certainly something to consider. Going down the route of being a street star, getting yourself through. I feel like my team, you know, get to experience all different aspects of the business. Some of my street stars were actually interns with the breakfast show. Some of them help out our commercial team quite a lot as well. I feel like they get to know a wide range of the business, which is great. And I think that the job is very, very varied. So it's, if you like, you know, I think you need to be able to work with the programming team as well. You need to be able to work with the programming team, work with the commercial team, and know how to market your station.
Whatever I do, this is Chloe Davison, marketing executive for Capital Scotland. Big cheer.
What I thought might be useful to you guys, and especially I still hire and recruit street team members at the moment, and especially what I look for and what I know our employers look for when they are, you know, recruiting new people into the radio industry, is these four things. So, first one, passion. So, you need to love what you do. I love what I do. The company I work for, Communicore UK, who actually owns Capital in Scotland, actually have this as one of their core values. So, you should be passionate enough to have the desire and the willing to be the best you can be. If you don't believe that you're the best that you can be, you know, you're not going to get there. Next one, commitment. So you've got to be committed. When I started at Capital, there were 20 other plus people on the street team who were all looking for shifts. You know, so if you say you're going to do something, or commit to doing some work experience somewhere, or commit to doing a shift, you know, do it and impress. So the organisation knows that, you know, I can trust this person. This person should do this again. Next one. Flexibility. So sometimes, really, honestly, my day is like that. You know, I've been out with the breakfast show this morning filming some wacky stuff in a car with Stephen Mill, Des and Jenny, so watch that tomorrow. And we're going to do a comedy gig tonight. So just show that you can be available and stand out. You know, if you are flexible, you'll be more likely to be selected to do things. And lastly, resilience. So don't give up. I'm sure plenty of people have told you that there aren't many jobs in this industry. It's true. But the people who do all that I've just talked about, I've got a better chance in making it. In Capital, for example, our breakfast show presenter, Jenny, she actually started as work experience. So she came in doing work experience. I think it was XFM at the time. So she was doing work experience in XFM, then got a producing role. So she was the producer for the show. And then after that, she ended up, this was when it was Galaxy. And then between Galaxy and Capital, she went from being the producer to the presenter. So she's done really, really well. And not only Jenny, you know, James, who's our programme controller, he started, like me, in the street team, the marketing coordinator, producer, programme controller, and he's now looking after the full output for our station. And again, with Stephen Mill, who's our newsreader slash presenter, he was the same. All of these guys did what you did. James was the SRA rep at the time, doing what Mark's doing right now as well. Every one of them were involved with student radio stations, and, you know, just threw their all into it and didn't give up.
To get in contact with us, tweet at SRA.
Scott here, and we're joining Brad Yule, who is the presenter of the nominations party here in Scotland today. Brad has just told me he's driven all the way over from Capital in Glasgow.
Yes.
So I have to ask, what was your route into radio? How did you wind up at Capital?
Well, I kind of got obsessed with radio through the Radio 1 chart show when I was about maybe 8 or 9. It then came time to, you know, do work experience at school. My local radio station, Central FM in Falkirk, I went up to them and asked if I could do work experience. They were like, yeah, sure. So I'd done a week's work experience there and didn't leave for about a year and a half later. I joined a community station in Barrhead called Pulse 98.4, where I done drive time for about a year and a half and covered breakfast as well. I was getting a bit, you know, it was a bit far out because I lived in Falkirk and travelling to Barrhead. It was quite a lot of money to be spending on this passion of mine. So I was going to be wrapping it up. I then got a Facebook message from the programme controller at Central FM. This is just before Christmas 2014, asking if I'd like a show on Central FM. And I was like, of course I would. It'd be unpaid at the time, but it was absolutely fine. So I took on the role of presenting Saturday night 6 p.m. till 10 p.m. It was then called the Saturday Night Party. I took that on for a couple of weeks and then went to programme control and saying, I've got some ideas for this. I think we could change it up a bit, you know. So I created a 90s Naughty Show. You know, says what it is in the tin, 90s and noughties. That's pretty much all we played between 6 and 10. It was a massive hit. I then started to be paid for it, which was brilliant, because a paid gig in radio is few and far between. I then got the Sunday nights, 7 to 10. After that, I was doing that for about 18 months. Is that about something about that anyway? Timing, I'm not 100% sure on. I then got offered a full-time gig working at Central FM doing their commercial production. And then got the evening show Monday through Friday. I was also looking after web and app for the rest of the group that they have, which is Wave 102 in Dundee and Original 106 in Aberdeen. So I looked after their websites, their apps. So I was doing that for quite a wee while. And then spoke to Capital, you know, I was doing a couple of demos and stuff in there. It's quite fancy, you know, maybe moving on. Nowhere did I think that I was, you know, good enough to go on and present on Capital, but I got offered a job there and accepted it. But the funny story was, is I was going to Capital to do a last demo before I got offered this job. But on the way there, I crashed my car. I phoned my boss at Central FM at the time. He was like, oh, right, okay, yeah, don't worry about it. Just come in when you can. I then got into Central FM about 11 o'clock that day, taken into a meeting room and told that I was being fired. But yeah, that happened. And then I got offered the job at Capital the same day. So bad luck doesn't strike in three, it strikes in two and one bit of good luck at the end of it, which was pretty cool. So I started doing Saturdays, I think it was the end of May this year. And now I've taken over the full weekend. So I'm doing both Saturdays and Sundays on Capital Scotland.
Excellent. We've heard a lot today from producers and we've heard from a couple of presenters as well.
Yep.
And they've kind of tried to cover each aspect.
Okay.
You've done both producing and presenting.
Yes, I have, yeah.
And I guess with your Saturday shows as well, you have to produce a bit as you're presenting.
Yeah, it's self-producing, yeah.
So could you maybe give us a couple of tips for presenters who maybe need to brush up on their producing skills as presenters?
Yeah, I mean, how I learned my kind of producing skills was sitting at home in Adobe and or whatever you use, you know, Pro Tools or something like that, and literally just making up jingles at home or cutting out things. I made podcasts out of different TV programs and just stuck them together. It sounded awful, but it was learning how, you know, cut and paste things. And I started doing actually some mixes, some DJ mixes, and that's quite a hard thing to do on Adobe, because to try and beat match on Adobe is quite difficult. Or it was for me at the first stage anyway. And you know, stuff like that's kind of, you know, taught myself, watched a lot of YouTube videos. But the main thing I'd say is, you know, probably sit down, spend an evening or two on the editing software that you use and just get to learn it inside out, so you can cut a call up really quickly in the space of a song or something like that.
To hear more,
go to studentradio.org.uk.
Scott here for the SRA, and we're coming to the end of the training day for Scotland. It's been absolutely amazing, and I've managed to grab Mark, who is the regional officer. It's had such a busy day, he's been rushed off his feet, he looks knackered, but we'll grab him for a couple of words. Mark, how do you think it's gone?
Scott, my goodness, it seems so long ago since we last spoke. Yes, you're right, it was a very busy day, but lots of energy, lots of enthusiasm from the stations that arrived. And I've got to say thank you so much to our speakers, to Callum, to Michelle, to Richard and to Chloe. All produced some great points with humour, but also a side of seriousness and some transferable things that our Scottish students can apply from industry into the student radio.
Well, I guess there's only one thing I've got to ask you then. Are you excited for the future of Scottish radio?
Oh, of course. I think generally this is the start of a slight change in the wind and how things are done up here. I'm looking to put on more events like this, maybe some smaller, more guerrilla ones at different stations when I visit them, and also bringing sort of the family of Scottish stations together as much as we possibly can. Yeah, it's a start, and really looking forward to what's going to happen in the future.
You are listening to a Student Radio Association podcast.